Pleasant good morning. Pleasure to have you here with us. We have some who are visiting. We're glad you're here. Hope you'll open your Bibles with us as we study together. My lesson today is going to challenge you and me. Most of us as Christians have known people who had faith to obey the gospel, lived right for many years, some for decades, and then quit. I've known evangelists and deacons who've done this. I've known some in this congregation who've done this, and I suspect you do too. Those of us who remained and did not follow that bad example find ourselves asking, what happened? When some who are thought to be faithful prove themselves to be unfaithful, it shakes up the faith of others. Others can lose their faith as a consequence, and much harm can be done, especially to those who are newer Christians who are not yet well established in their faith. Consider quickly with me just a few ideas of what is faith. Man will tell you lots of different things about that answer, but Scripture is very plain. In Hebrews chapter 11 and in verse 1, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. That's what faith is. It's not something you put on that never changes. Faith is living. It can be growing. It can stagnate. It can decline. It can be lost. Faith is a conviction. Well, to demonstrate that idea that maybe our conviction can change, we can become convinced to purchase a brand of clothing. We like the way it looks and feels, and so some of us will have multiple shirts from the same manufacturer, maker. And after some time, my conviction in that brand will wane. Their product didn't change. I did. And so I start buying a different brand. Maybe not the greatest example, but I think we can relate to what I'm saying. Sometimes our conviction stops because of who we believed. And you can see this all around you in our society. It's the guy next door who believes so strongly this one NFL team is going to win this season. He is convinced. And by the third game, his convictions have changed because they didn't prove themselves worthy for the success. The conviction was misplaced because of who they placed it in. Unlike these things in the world, our conviction is in God. Our faith is in God. A conviction in things not seen. And we can have confidence in God. He says in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6, I, the Lord, do not change. Our belief is well placed. But if our faith changes, then it's not because of God. It's because I need to look at myself. Additionally, faith is living. Like my physical body, my faith can be strong one day and weak the next. The phrase spiritual illness is not found in Scripture, but the concept certainly is. So we also can find those who are called weak in faith, Romans 4:19. Those who are strong in faith, Romans 4:20. Those who are little faith, Matthew 8:26, and great in faith, Matthew 8, verse 10. Many people in our society don't really understand what faith is. Faith is of vital importance to us, though. Hebrews 11 and verse 6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. So, how do I get faith? The world tells us a few things about how to get faith. They say, well, just follow your heart. Do what you think is best for you. That's the ultimate guide to faith. Some will say, well, the Holy Spirit needs to come upon you, or God will give me faith. Many speak of an inner voice, or God showed them something. Blaise Pascal is quoted as saying, follow the way by which they began, by acting as if they believed, taking the holy water, having masses said, etc. Even this will naturally make you believe. And he is suggesting there that faith is acquired through mechanical repetition and ritual. None of this is what the Bible says. Romans 10:17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. The Bible is simple to read and understand. My conviction in things not seen is founded upon the word of Christ, the words he spoke, the words which the apostles taught that are found in the New Testament. Faith in a man, let's say a preacher, will not save you. Faith in a message created by men will not save you. Faith must come from what God has revealed in the Bible. So here's the challenge of the lesson today. What has happened to my faith? My hope is that this lesson will be as clear as black and white in the slides. Let's look at the first point. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and in verse 5. My faith has increased, some will say. That's what's happened to my faith. 2 Corinthians 10 and 15 says, as your faith grows. Paul told them in 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 7, you abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and all earnestness and in the love we inspired in you. I recently preached our need to learn the Word of God. What causes our faith to increase? Conviction by examining evidence. We become convinced initially to obey the gospel, but even more afterward, as we continue to read the Bible more and understand it more, the conviction gets stronger and more deeply rooted in our mind. By hearing God's word regularly, daily, and purposefully, my faith can grow, and it needs to. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and in verse 3, Paul begins the letter speaking of the evidence of the increase of their faith. Again, it's in 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 3. There he says, we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brethren, as is only fitting, because your faith is greatly enlarged, and the love of each one of you toward one another grows ever greater. This was after they became Christians, that their faith is greatly enlarged. Paul speaks of this also in Colossians chapter 1 and in verse 4, where he says, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel which has come to you, just as in all the world also, it is constantly bearing fruit and increasing, even as it has been doing in you since the day you heard of it and understood the grace of God in truth. Is that what you see in yourself? When you look in the mirror of God's word, when we read about the faith of those in Hebrews chapter 11, we can read and understand their conviction, and we can relate to their behavior, or just does it all seem so impossible that I'm never going to have faith like that? Again, Colossians 1 and verse 6 says the gospel constantly bears fruit and increases the faith of people. God doesn't say you need to have the faith of Noah and Abraham. God says your faith needs to grow and increase. Has it? In 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and in verse 5, 2 Corinthians 13 and in verse 5, it says to test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves, or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test. To be in the faith is to have conviction in the things that God has revealed and not what man has said. To be in Christ is about having fellowship with Christ and God. Romans 6, 4 and Galatians 3, 27 say we're baptized into Christ. Is that describing you? If you believe yourself to be a Christian but have not done what Scripture says, having been baptized for the forgiveness of your sin and into Christ, I would kindly say your conviction is in the wrong thing. Examining ourselves is a comparison of ourselves to the Word of God. Have I done all that God has said? Faith cannot increase if it's not based on God's Word. The self-examination begins there. I've known many people who thought they were right with God, who started looking closely at Scripture and came to understand they were not following the Word of God, and they, in fact, were not in Christ as they thought they were. They did not have the faith that Scripture says will save us. Facing that problem in our life is challenging and scary, even. The King James translation of Acts 17 and verse 6 says that the preaching of the gospel turned the world upside down. The New American Standard in that same opening says the preaching of the gospel upset the world. There are many today who are upset when they read Scripture and it condemns them for not having faith. Rather than being angry or refusing to accept what God says is different than my understanding, the test reveals if I've done what's right. I still have to make corrections. Why continue to fail the test when you know God says you need to make corrections? We have to maintain a good attitude while examining ourselves. Some will be lost eternally because they didn't like the answer from God's Word. Don't let that be you. My second point comes from James chapter 2. And some probably have already determined I was going to go to this passage. My faith was perfected with works. That's what's happened to my faith. James 2 and verse 14. Let's read the text together. He says, "What use is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, but he has no works, can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, be warmed and be filled,' and yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. But someone may well say, 'You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without the works, and I will show you my faith by my works.' You believe that God is one. You do well. The demons also believe and shudder. But are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up Isaac his son on the altar? You see that faith was working with his works, and as a result of the works, faith was perfected. And the Scripture was fulfilled, which says, 'And Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, and he was called the friend of God.' You see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. Faith can be dead. Did you see that? There are several people we know who say, I'm saved at the point of belief. And there are no works that I have to do to be saved. And they point to John 3 and verse 16. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but will have eternal life. Yes, that verse points to the necessity of belief. But James 2 says, faith alone will not save you. We can't base everything on one verse of Scripture. God's given us all of it. I have to keep reading and learning and become convinced to the point that I do the works that He has said. Notice also in verse 20 of James 2, faith alone is useless. If I place my hand on top of the stove and I believe the burner starting to warm up, my belief is useless unless I remove my hand. I have to do something based on my belief. Faith without works is useless. Faith is shown by our works. Faith to the point of obedience in doing the works that God has told us. Without the works, I prove that I do not believe God. Verse 22 of our text, faith was perfected. This doesn't mean that I was sinless. It means that faith was completed, that faith has been brought to a point of finality, which is what God intends in us. How did that happen? Verse 22, it was a result of the works. We do the works because of our faith. And the works demonstrate our faith. In Galatians chapter 5 and then verse 6, it says, in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything, but faith working through love. Again, faith is necessary, but it's coupled with doing things through love. Love for God motivates me to do the works that He has said. And simply obeying Him without love is not enough. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and in verse 3, Paul writes how he was constantly bearing in mind their work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Is that how I live? Is that how you live? Is this describing my faith? So here's a challenge for you this afternoon. When you go home, I want you to make a list of the works that God requires of us that you've accomplished in the last week, or that you accomplished yesterday, or that you accomplished today. I believe many will find themselves lacking, meaning faith has not been perfected. It's not been brought to its finality. We're not accomplishing the things that God would tell us to do. And we need to be doing the works of God every day. Titus 3 and verse 14 says, our people must also learn to engage in good deeds and meet pressing needs so that they will not be unfruitful. What's happened to my faith? Well, I added to my faith. Let's look at that text in 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 5. Their scripture says, now for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence. And in your moral excellence, knowledge. And in your knowledge, self-control. And in your self-control, perseverance. And in your perseverance, godliness. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness. And in your brotherly kindness, love. I remind you, Hebrews 11 and verse 1 says, faith is the conviction of things not seen. The conviction of things hoped for. the evidence of things not seen. This list in 2 Peter 1 shows faith as the starting point that we then add things to. I do not believe we add moral excellence and complete that, and then we add knowledge, as some people would teach today. No, we're supposed to add all of these things to our faith. This is something we're continuously working on, all of these things at the same time, adding to our faith. Read some more in the text in verse 9. He says, if these qualities are yours and increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. It's not just that we add these qualities, but that they are increasing. These are things we are to practice, to do them. So the challenge is, we have to ask ourselves, am I lacking these qualities? Am I practicing these things? We have to keep examining ourselves even after we become a Christian. Even more so, I would think. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, and in verse 10, Paul writes, as we night and day keep praying most earnestly that we may see your face and may complete what is lacking in your faith. In the early years of the church, before the New Testament was written, people were learning the truth from the apostles. Paul's concept in completing what was lacking in their faith was about coming to them and teaching the Word of God, teaching them the truth. They needed to be practicing the things that God expected, much like that list in 2 Peter chapter 1. Are we lacking in our faith? Is something needing to be added to our faith? And when will those things be increasing in us? What's happened to my faith? Oh, my faith is shipwrecked. That's the language of 1 Timothy 1, verse 19. Keeping faith and good conscience, which some have rejected and suffered shipwreck in regard to their faith. Keeping faith, that's about keeping my conviction in the things that God has told us. Some reject faith and no longer believe, and they suffer shipwreck. Notice also the need to keep a good conscience. For those who know the Word of God, they've been convinced, and then they reject it, the conscience is likely going to be complaining about what they're doing. God has given us a conscience to help us if we will train it to understand what the truth is. Keeping faith, in the King James is translated holding. The word there literally means to adhere or cling to. We're supposed to cling to our faith, cling to our conviction, and the evidence of things not seen. Don't let go of it. That's sometimes difficult because of temptations or stresses of this physical life, the hardships and sufferings that we have to go through. Wrap your arms around it and don't let go of it. Cling to it. Hebrews chapter 10, and verses 38 and 39 describes what happens in the lives of many Christians. And I want you to hear this well. I want you to be attentive and I want you to think of yourself. Hebrews 10, verse 38. My righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the preserving of the soul. We're supposed to live by our faith, our conviction in the things not seen that God has told us about. Faith governs all of our life. Faith dictates decisions we make in our walk. Faith is the center of who we are. Clearly, though, in verse 39, some do shrink back to destruction. They return to the ways of the world. Their faith is gone. These are described for us in 2 Peter 2, beginning in verse 20. If after they have escaped the defilements of the world by the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and are overcome, the last state has become worse for them than the first. For it would be better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn away from the holy commandment handed on to them. It has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to its own vomit, and a sow after washing returns to wallowing in the mire. This same principle is taught in Ephesians chapter 5 and in verse 3 beginning, where Scripture says, immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints, and there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather the giving of thanks. For this you know with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Is that what's happened to your faith? Do you see behaviors in yourself that match the description and scriptures of the things that we should not do? Being impure will result in eternal destruction, even if you were previously baptized into Christ. No inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. A son of disobedience. This is the one who has shrunk back from faith. Their faith has shipwrecked. What happened to my faith? For some, my faith has been upset. And I took this from 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 17. Where it says, their talk will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, men who have gone astray from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already taken place, and they upset the faith of some. My convictions of things can be upset if I listen to the wrong things. The talk of men saying things is not the source of my conviction. I'm convicted by the Word of God. But when I start listening to men more than I am to God, and believing men more than God, then my faith has been upset. Pure and simple. The King James in this verse does not use the word upset. It uses the word overthrown. And the Greek there means to overturn, to destroy, to subvert. Faith has been defeated in that instance. Faith has been lost in favor of belief of what man says. And that's prevalent in our society, where people pay more attention to the social media preacher than they read their Bible. Where they give more attention to the content of the televangelist then they read their Bible. If we listen to the wrong things, or stop listening to God, stop seeing the need to learn His will, then my faith will be shipwrecked. I will be upset. This same truth is easily seen in Galatians chapter 1 and in verse 6 that says, I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting Him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another, Only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. That's what men teach. Distortions. We see it again in 1 Thessalonians 3 and in verse 5. For this reason, when I could endure it no longer, I also sent to find out about your faith, for fear that the tempter might have tempted you and our labor would be in vain. The challenge for you and me, again, is my faith upset? Have I allowed my ignorance of the Word of God to cause me to rely more on what men say, on what the preacher says? Preaching is important. It's part of God's plan. But faith comes by hearing the Word of God. If a preacher doesn't preach the Word of God, then you're going to believe a lie. You have to know what God's Word says. I have to check to see if the preacher's preaching the Word of God. That's personally vital to every person's salvation. Brethren, you know this. Scripture says we're supposed to walk by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7. We walk by faith, not by sight. Our conviction is in things not seen. We don't believe because we see something, but because God has said something. Walking is about our behavior and our conduct, how we live. So I encourage you to face the challenge, examining yourselves as I examine myself. Am I walking by faith? In Hebrews chapter 10, in verse 22, Scripture says, "Let us draw near with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our faith without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and to good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, even in our congregation, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Forsaking the assemblings is not holding fast the confession. It's a wavering. Our full assurance of faith would be wavering. Because I choose to not obey God and assemble with the saints. Because I choose to not sing praises to God, which encourages the other brethren when I'm here. Because I'm not partaking of the Lord's Supper, which He specifically commands when we assemble. I don't make myself available to hear the Word of God preached. Faith is wavering in that instance. That text is not so hard to understand. What's happening to your faith? Do you recall a time when you were at every assembly, you came to all the Bible classes, you attended extra things like devotionals and gospel meetings and singings and prayer meetings and everything else going on with the brethren? And I think most of us could say, yes, I remember that. This congregation has been and continues to be a stronghold for the truth of God. It is a reputation of this congregation being sound in faith. But we're only as strong as the individuals. And I'm going to take my preacher hat off for a moment and put on my elder hat and speak to you as one of the elders. We have many in our congregation of whom I am concerned that your faith is not increasing but decreasing. The works that I see some not doing indicate a problem in faith. I urge you to personally give attention to this lesson. Hear again the teaching of God. Apply it to yourself, as I try to do in my life. Titus chapter 2 and verse 11 says, "The grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Christ Jesus, who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. Well, I told you this would be a challenging lesson. But that's how all of the Word of God is. This challenge shouldn't be a surprise to us. God has high standards that we have to meet if we want to be saved. I really want you to take some time today and contemplate what I presented in this lesson. Talk to your spouse about it. Talk to your children about it. Talk to your parents about it. Contact your brethren and discuss it. We need to encourage one another, and that's not just about our assembling of ourselves together. Hebrews 3 and 13 says to encourage one another day after day as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. I hope some hearts have been pricked by this lesson. Please know that I have presented this with great love in my heart for all of you and with many prayers. If you see where your faith is not increasing, if you see where your faith is shipwrecked, I urge you to repent and begin obeying God because you love him with all your heart. He's proven his love for us in sending his son to die in our place. Change your way. Start walking by faith. Choose to respond this morning even to this lesson. And let us pray together and help one another, encourage one another. We're not going to think less of you. We're going to think more because of your increased conviction and the things that God has told us about. Do you have faith this morning to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ? Perhaps your understanding of faith is clearer now than prior to this lesson. If you know that you've not yet submitted to God in obedience, don't leave today without accomplishing that. If you believe he is the Son of God, then repent of your sin. Confess him before this assembly. Be baptized for the forgiveness of your sin and into Christ. Begin today the Christian walk by faith, by walking to the front of the assembly. Come forward now.